Blog Talk Radio.
Winter's back. stands deceived, birds communing on her leaves, waiting to be like something else. Ray of sun struck the floor, hands made puppets on your door.
Beside me, always beside me. All right. I hope you all like the praise and worship part of the service. Amen. Let's get into the message, okay, that I want to bring tonight, which is a Bible study, and it's titled, Are You Thankful? A 19th century novelist is quoted as saying, some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I'm thankful that thorns have roses, which describes you. Your car has a flat tire, which causes you to be late for an appointment. Several bills are due and there's not enough money in your checking account to pay them. Payday is a week away. The washing machine overflowed earlier in the day, flooding the laundry room and soaking through the floors of the basement. And if that weren't enough, your children have the flu. So what if the troubles you are facing are more serious? Maybe you recently lost your job, and with a family to support, you wonder how you will survive. Perhaps marital problems are escalating with the end of a marriage, the only resolution in sight. Maybe you have just received news that you have a life-threatening health condition. Or the country in which you live is not only of the have nations, continues to make day-to-day life more like just eking out of existence. At times it can be easy to focus on your problems, fall into a woe, it's me attitude, and complain about all that is going wrong and how unfair life is. You can begin to grumble and gripe about what you feel in your sad state of affairs. Your mindset can crowd out the joy, happiness, and thankfulness that should dominate your thinking due to many blessings that still remain. No matter how bad things may become, no matter how tough your circumstances in life, no matter where you live, if you look, you will find many things for which you can be thankful for. A spirit of unthankfulness. As the end of the age approaches, the increasing problems of the world will impact our lives. The Apostle Paul warned that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. One of the prevailing moods of society at the end will be the spirit of ingratitude, born of a feeling of entitlement instilled in human minds by politicians and religious figures, labor leaders, marketers, and companies selling goods and services, etc. We live in a time of I deserve it, it's my right. What most do not understand is the only right we have to receive the wages of sin we have earned, death. Everything else a person possesses, beginning with his very life, is a blessing and gift from God who owns all things. Psalm chapter 50, verse 10 and 12. Some may think they've gained wealth and possessions by their own power, so they thank no one but themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 12 to 18. These are all scriptures that I'd like you to write down and look up, okay, in this Bible study. Okay, so if you got a pencil and paper, go ahead and write them down or look them up as I go along. God's people must be careful not to fall into prevailing moods and attitudes of degenerating society bombarding their minds daily. We must purposely fight against the spirit of unthankfulness. We must determine to practice being thankful. Thankfulness commanded. Thankfulness is an intrinsic part of being a Christian. It is something that the saints of God are to be known for. It is conduct that becomes them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Note that thankfulness is a command. It's commanded. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and your Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. We should always be thankful attitude. In everything give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Be thankful for all things. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice and praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him, establish the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, be filled with thankfulness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be with you thankful. Colossians 3:15, a clear admonition. And whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Put trials into perspective. Every Christian will experience trials, troubles, and difficulties. There is no way to avoid them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. But we are to be thankful for them. That's James chapter 1, verse 2. How do you view difficulties? Approaching trials with the correct perspective leads you to be thankful, knowing that God is working to produce his perfect character in you. Complaining about your difficulties does not please God. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And accomplishes nothing. So look how Daniel, whose place in God's kingdom is assured, to choose to react to a severe impending trial that could have ended his life. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three princes of whom Daniel was first, that the prince might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because of an excellent spirit was within him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion for none nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establishes a decree and sign the writing that is not to be changed according to the law of Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Rather than ceasing to pray, Daniel knelt and offered a praise of thanksgiving before God. He did this knowing he would likely be cast into a den of lions. Yet he was able to maintain a grateful attitude, happy to be counted worthy to suffer persecution for the righteous' sake. To Daniel, this trial was an evident token of salvation. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. When viewed in this light, it was easy to be thankful for his trials, troubles, difficulties, and persecutions experienced in our Christian walk. Blessed with much, all the people on earth who have the most to be grateful for, every day we are loaded with blessings. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Psalms chapter 68, verse 19. So stop and think about the nature of God we serve and how appreciative we ought to be. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you from loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Psalms chapter 103, verses 1 to 13. A grateful attitude is tied to God, helping us in times of trouble. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay your vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm chapter 50, verses 14 and 15. So if we were not appreciative of all God has done for us, can we have any expectation of continued providence? Regardless of any present difficulties, having the right attitude has the effect in our prayers. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Leaving words of gratitude out of your prayer, not thanking God for blessings already received, may mean your request, whether deliverance out of the trials or some real need, will not be answered. Jesus Christ set an example in giving thanks. He was thankful to the Father that his prayers were heard. In John chapter 11, verse 41. For those whom God revealed the truth. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21. And for the physical nourishment. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 36. Christ would have been especially thankful for the last Passover spent with his disciples, knowing that the first step in God's plan of salvation would soon be completed. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 28. This is the perfect model of appreciation, gratefulness, and thanksgiving to follow and practice. So count your blessings. In this day and age, it seems that life, the day-to-day happenings, move at a rapid pace. There always seems to be something demanding our attention. How many times have you said there are just not enough hours in the day as you quickly complete one item on your to-do list and rush on to do the next? There is no time to stop to smell the roses. There is no time to stop to think. Our minds are constantly filled with issues of the day. Under these circumstances, okay, it can be easy to lose sight of all there is to be thankful for. We need to take time to meditate on the blessings we have received. Make time to count your blessings, as the saying goes. If you live in one of the birthright nations, then you have much to be grateful for. Your standard of living most likely far exceeds your contemporaries in other countries. Just the ability and opportunity to earn a living is beyond what most people on earth can possibly hope for. You just happen to be born in one of the nations blessed by God through Abraham. Consider your pets likely to live better than most people in the world. But what if you live in a less blessed nation? Your living conditions may not be best, but if you look, you could probably find others who live more lives or more difficult than your own, within and without your national borders. Maybe you do not have much in the way of physical items, but at least your country has a degree of peace and stability, and it is free from turmoil and upheaval experience in other lands. If you have good health, count it a blessing. Be thankful for it. If you are battling health problems, then thank God each day for your life and each breath you take, each beat of your heart. How about employment? Maybe you do not have the best job, but you can be thankful for at least having one. Are you thankful for family? These are just a few physical blessings to consider. Are of greater importance than spiritual blessings? Are you thankful for faithful ministry who holds fast faithful words as they have been taught? Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Who teaches and preaches sound doctrine, not giving to fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth, verse 14. But what about the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Are you grateful for the gift of repentance? Do you thank God for giving you the ability to see yourself, to see the faults, weaknesses, and character blemishes that need to be eradicated and replaced with godly character? Do you appreciate that you are no longer cut off from God, but have access to Him through our mediator? Are you grateful for Jesus Christ's sacrifice, which makes possible the payment of the death penalty in your stead? Or are you thankful for the Father's and Christ's willingness to follow through His first step in the plan of salvation? John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and 6, chapter 6, 38 to 40. Truly we should give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, rendered us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of saints and light. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. We are bound to give thanks always to God, because God has from beginning chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. You are one of a very small handful of billions on earth who has been offered a place among the first fruits. Do you sing joyful songs of praise and thanksgiving, knowing that if you remain faithful to the end, your name is written in heaven? Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Do you thank God for a soon coming kingdom, as well as the understanding of knowledge of it, that it will solve humanity's problems, and for your part of proclaiming the message of hope to the world? How privileged are you to know the truth, to know that very soon the pain, suffering, and misery, and ever-increasing problems afflicting mankind will end. What precious knowledge. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercies endure forever. Psalms chapter 118, verse 1. The list of things that we, the people of God, have to be thankful for is practically endless. It's often the physical things or lack thereof that are most noticed. When physical blessings are present, never neglect to thank God for them. Always, in all things, give thanks to the manifold spiritual blessings we have received. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So let us give thanks unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, for God will dwell with those who have thankful hearts. Amen. Yes, He will. God appreciates a thankful heart. Amen. Alrighty. Well, I hope everybody, has had a good weekend so far. I'm sorry to hear that Matt Mark is sick with COVID. We will pray for him. Okay. I'm not afraid of anything, Pastor Veal. Okay? Okay. Well, let's take a caller. Let's take 843.
Hello?
843, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You out of the hospital?
Yeah, I'm out of the hospital, but I almost got hit by a car.
Oh. Sorry to hear
that. I'm fine. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say it's good.
Well, that's good. Great. I was praying for you while you were in the hospital.
Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome.
All right. I want people to get more calls, so, all right.
Okay. Well, we got a caller here. Okay, 111. We're bringing 111 on. Hello, 111, you're on the air.
Hello, how's it going?
Right, fine. Blessing Holly Favorite, how are things going with you?
Oh, I'm simply fantastic today. Now, I'm a relationship advice counselor. My name is Jeffrey Goldstein, and I operate out of the New York area, and you're a pastor. You know how to connect people with God easier. A lot of these couples that come into my relationship counseling advice clinic, they really don't know where to start, and I think God is a good way to get them on the path towards reconciliation. How do I do that in the best way? I mean, you're a pastor. You would know.
You bring God into the conversation, okay? Let him think about things like what would God think if you do this, if you do that, things like that.
Well, that's fantastic. And how do you bring God into your relationship? I'm curious.
Well, I bring God into a relationship, okay, by allowing him to direct my path on where to go with it.
What do you mean by that?
Basically, I let God be in charge of my life, okay? I let him decide what I should do in my relationship that's going to make it better.
Amen. And do you think that's caused a lot of good in your relationship?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's fantastic. Sorry, I'm eating a little bit right now, but how long have you been together with Tony F?
Oh, we're going on 16 years.
How'd you meet each other?
We just happened to meet one day, in a club, and we went from there.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can sense the love between you two guys. Now, 16 years is a long time, and I'm also curious about this. How do you keep things fresh in your relationship?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I burped. Excuse me. But how do you keep things fresh in a relationship?
Every day is a new day.
Amen. That's fantastic. So do you ever surprise Tony F? With, like, flowers or something?
Say what?
Do you ever surprise Tony F with, like, flowers or something?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes.
That's fantastic. And I assume you also liven things up in the bedroom. I'm sorry if that's ungodly, but I just assume that, too.
Things has his ups and downs there, okay, sometimes.
Well, it being in the bedroom, I'd assume there's a lot of ups and some downs, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
thank you for taking my call. I hope your cancer treatment goes well. I saw the GoFundMe. I'm really sorry about that, and I do.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's play some music, since we have callers that haven't pressed the one key. Okay.
down my eyes, fix my sight. Will you call me high, or you take me in? You draw me out, you call me a friend. And if my hand can touch anything near, I'll choose to refrain as you meet me here. The world full of choices, all to do. The road is deep, follows past you.
Kenny, how's it going? It's Randy.
Hey, Rand. What's up, Randy?
How's it going?
Oh, I'm all right.
All right, good. Hey, are you guys on lockdown over there in Texas because of the COVID thing?
Well, it's getting that way.
We're completely locked down here in California, and there's a curfew.
After
10 o'clock. Yeah, yep. Our mayors are very upset about that. So it's really difficult. It's very upsetting for all of us. But I know that I've been talking to Doug. One of the reasons I wanted to get on the air. Oh, my gosh. Make sure the door's closed, Emma. Close this door. One of the reasons – sorry. My kid came in with the cat. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you was you know, last I spoke to Doug, I talk to him every once in a while. We're pretty good friends now. We're all entitled to drink a few beers. You know what I mean? Like, we can all, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? But Doug is, I'm not saying he was belligerent, but he was definitely tying a few on. He said he's trying to wean himself off. And maybe I'm sharing a little too much, but he said he's trying to get down to 3 beers a day, which is, hell, that's pretty good. But he sounded pretty sad last time I spoke to him on the line. So I was just hoping if he does call in, I want everybody to kind of be kind to Doug and all of us kind of, support him. I mean, we're all kind of brothers in the eyes of the Lord, right?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that we're all kind to each other. Doug, if you'd like to call in, I wouldn't mind speaking to you. And I'm sure Kenny would like to speak to you too, and maybe offer you some words of encouragement. And I mean, Pastor Ken, weren't you at one point in time drinking heavily as well?
Yeah. Way back in the day, I was drinking heavily, doing drugs. Oh yeah.
What kind of drugs were you using, if you don't mind me asking?
I used marijuana, cocaine, heroin.
Did you smoke it or inject heroin?
I snorted it.
Damn. Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. But yeah, but you got through it. You got through it, and that's what's important, and that's why I think it matters so much for Doug to hear the words of encouragement coming specifically from you. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I understand that.
Yes. And on another note, because Doug hasn't called in yet, even though we're just really, really good friends and we talk all the time, he's maybe just a little embarrassed. But you were talking about, how long have you been with Farrar for now?
Going on 16 years.
16 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I was, because my wife and I, we've been together 15 years now. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I was kind of wondering how you guys kind of keep it going, because we're kind of at our wit's end with each other, and it's kind of a difficult situation. And I was wondering if you can give me any, advice as to how to keep this relationship going in a positive direction.
Well, you got to do give and take. You can't expect to just take and take and take. You got to give too. Okay, you got to show respect, mm-hmm. for the things that she does for you. Just little things. Every once in a while, just say I love you. Okay, give her a kiss. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh huh.
I
try.
Like
yeah,
that.
I definitely do that. Yeah, I try to do nice things. Being married for 15 years is not easy, as you know. Are you and Farrar married?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. But you've been married before, correct?
I'm a law.
Oh, okay. All right. But how does that work? Like legally, with a gay couple in Texas? when you're still married to Rosemary? How does that affect like the situation? Is it still matters
affect,
common law?
It doesn't. It doesn't affect the situation. Okay.
Oh.
How did you guys? Rosemary and I have been separated. For 20 years now.
Wow. But why haven't you, out of curiosity, why haven't you guys got the divorce yet?
I don't know. I thought that, she was going to file, and maybe she has. I don't know.
Yeah. You probably would have received paperwork. Yeah, maybe she just didn't feel like doing it, and then kind of over the years she kind of just, it became less and less important to file, and instead it's become a little more important for you and for her to stay together. And I'm glad you guys have found you guys have a very healthy relationship, aside from the homosexual activities that you guys perform on each other. And but besides that, I'm sure it's all godly. You said in the past that anal sex is absolutely okay in the eyes of the Lord. Farrar had just put in the chat that he receives your penis, and that you do not. You're way too masculine to receive a penis, and that's good. I mean, I'm happy for you, Kent.
Okay, well thank you.
And so, how many? Would you say you finish inside of his rectum, or do you typically pull out and shoot him on his face?
Yes, that's right.
Have you ever do sometimes blow your load in his asshole, or do you pull out and then shoot him?
That's enough, Randy. Okay. I mean, the inquisitive folks need to know.
They're just terrible.
Okay. Let's take another caller. 111.
Hey, this is Pastor Veal. How are you, Pastor Ken?
All right. How you doing, Pastor Veal?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Why'd you do that? You just started.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
You don't like him either. Okay. Let's see. Let's take another caller.
111. Hello, good evening. This is Mike Hunt, personal trainer.
Hey, Mike.
Hello. Hey, I had something I wanted to read to you. Doug gets so drunk he forgets to eat his meals. He drinks every day no matter how he feels. Sometimes he buys his booze, sometimes he steals. He buys cases of beer at Walmart, they have good deals. He screws the neighbor's dog. He loves to hear the squeals. Doug does pray every day. He gets down and kneels. But on our dash lane, we've got Harleys and high heels. Ken has brought Doug closer to God, even though Doug is a drunk and quite odd. 16 years ago, Ken met Tony in a club. It's been a long time now. They've been in love. Farrar won't cook, but he will clean. 2 packs a day. Ken is a smoking machine. I heard Doug got banned. Man, that's good. Doug is having date night with his blow-up doll and playing with his wood. Doug would stop drinking if he could. Please take Pastor Veal's call again. I think you should. We like it when Randy Anderson calls in. Mad Mark, get well. Make sure you eat. Don't get too thin. Kenny, smack Farrar if he looks at other men. This has been a GRM update. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. he's quite nifty on the poems.
Quite amusing.
Yeah, quite amusing. All right. Okay. Well, we got one more caller on 111. Let's take it and see who it is. 111.
Hello,
Mr. Mississippi
Mike. How are you, Pastor Ken?
All right. How you doing, Mississippi Mike?
I'm doing quite well. But
I've got some nasty messages from Doug. I DM'd you about them, but they were pretty nasty, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that was pretty nasty, yeah.
Yeah, he came into my Discord room a few days ago, and he started saying, he said, I got a poem written for Ken, and I'm going to tell it to you on a show. And I'm like, well, I hope it's a good poem, Doug, because, you know, Doug claims to be a musician and such. And so he sent it over my way, and I was gagging at it. It was disgusting. And he's a man who don't like God, I think.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's like I said. Everybody is entitled to do whatever.
Amen. But like the line that really got to me, he's speaking ill about the Lord too. One of his lines is, you know, you were praying to God, well, you got rope shot in your anus, and I just thought it was nasty, and I didn't like that, and talked a lot about feces, and I know you're not into that. You're a godly man. You're not into feces, are you?
Huh?
It does talk a lot about you licking feces in his poems, and I thought that was nasty. And I know you don't do that, do you?
No.
No, well, I think he's into you, man. I think he wants to bend you over in a hay barn, so to speak. I think he wants to insert his country fried shrimp into your mud hole. Don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think Doug has a cute voice? I mean, I'm not homosexual, so I don't know.
No, I don't know. I can't say he does or he doesn't.
Well, he talks to you, wouldn't you know? Now, I guess another question I have is, when did you find out you were gay? There's a lot of people in my parish down in Mississippi coming to me and saying that they think they're gay. When did you find out you were gay?
Oh, did I find out I was gay?
Yeah.
I was bisexual, okay? And then just one day I decided I wasn't going to do females anymore. Okay?
Why not females anymore? Were they hard to deal with and men are just easy?
No, it was just I decided not to.
You just started dating.
Well, I can respect that. I've seen pictures of Tony F. He's a fine-looking individual, so I don't blame you whatsoever. But in the military, when you were in the military, did you experiment at all? I know a lot of people experiment in the military, especially.
No, I didn't. When I was in the military, I didn't.
Well, there's that one song, you know, by the Village People. In the Navy.
In the
Navy. Yeah, you know that song?
Yeah, I know that song.
Well, I was just wondering because you said you were in the Navy once and in the Marines and in the Army. And I was just wondering if you joined the Navy because, you know, your homosexual side was coming out or something.
No. No, I joined the Navy to make my dad happy. He was a Navy guy. He was an Army.
Now, where did you serve when you were in the Navy, if you don't mind me asking? Were you on in San Diego?
No, I was in Fort Wayne, California. Okay?
California.
I was a CB.
Oh, you were a CB. Oh, that's awesome. So you were working on building things and everything, right? That's what the CBs do. They repair.
My particular job was a utilities man. Okay. I worked on toilets, worked on electrical, worked on refrigeration, stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for your service and your electrical repair. Now, you back too, don't you? You back?
I did what?
You back. You're a backer.
Yeah.
Do you back much now, or you hung a backer's helmet recently?
I haven't ridden in a while, okay, due to my health.
Someone told me that your back was broke, too. That's
yeah, it's broke down, too. It's still broken down.
Maybe I can get some wealthy church donors to fix your back so you can go out and, you know, experience the woods before you experience the joy of the road before you pass away again.
Yeah, well, that would be nice, Mike.
I think that would be nice. And, you know, I have a couple people who are backers themselves, and I know these backer communities. They're just fantastic groups of people, and we'd get your back fixed up real good. You could go riding one last time, because I did hear that you're sick right now. Is that true?
Yeah, my COPD.
Oh, someone told me you had cancer.
I did at one time. Okay, I no longer do.
You no longer have cancer? What type of cancer did you have?
Colon.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Colon cancer. Oh, man. I couldn't imagine having cancer in the colon. Ah, man. Because, you know, my granddad had colon cancer. And he had to go into the doctor's office, and they had to probe him and stuff like that. That was hard for him. I assume it would be a little bit easier for you due to your sexuality. But I don't know. Anyways, if you've got any callers, other callers, feel free to take them. Hope you start feeling better, Pastor Ken.
All righty. Well, thank you, Mississippi Mike. Okay, God bless you. We're getting down to about 3 minutes left of the program, okay? So I want to say thank you for everybody for calling in. God bless you. Thank everybody in the chat room. Okay, God bless you as well.
Tony Farrar. I want to say hi to Tony Farrar. I heard him in the background. You sound lovely today.
Okay, he says hi.
Wonderful.
All righty. Well, God bless you. And, everybody have a great night. Okay.
Everybody got good sex tonight. Amen. Good night.
Okay, yes. See you all tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Bye-bye.